31 yards out for the win. The kick is good.
That's the sound of another come-from-behind victory with against the Chicago Bears last Sunday when Tim Tebow and the Denver Broncos still picking up steam, and the quarterback of the Denver Broncos has become something of a cultural phenomenon. It's not just his on-field exploits. He's also been an icon of the evangelical community since his college days at the University of Florida. Public displays of faith that have played a major role in the athlete's public persona and the native narrative that surrounds him.
Well, you know, first and foremost, you know, I got to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and thank my teammates.
But if we have a hypothetical question here, a bit of a rhetorical, philosophical question here. What if instead of being a conservative Christian, Tim Tebow were a conservative Muslim? Would America still be fascinated by him? It's something that the Takeaway's Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen has been thinking about and writing about. Good morning, Ibrahim.
Good morning.
All right, so let me put this question straight to you. Would we be having the same kind of, you know, and when I use the word fascination specifically because it's not all love for Tim Tebow. Some people can't get enough of him because they don't appreciate the demonstrations of faith. Would that be the same if he were Muslim?
Well, just imagine that particular moment. It's the end of the game. You have a quarterback who's just won the game, done improbable thing, and come from behind victory. And he says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. He says in Arabic, you know, all praises due to the Lord of the worlds. He essentially says the same thing, but in Arabic. Would America cringe, you know, sitting at their seats? Or would they say, wow, this guy's amazing, and he's really vocal about his faith?
No, I think if nothing, the uproar over Lowe's would tell us exactly how to answer that question. Obviously, that would make a lot of people in the United States cringe.
Correct. And I think but the other part of it is that he does a lot of people who feel there's two sides to this. A lot of people feel that you should keep your religion behind closed doors. And that part of our secular, so this goes back to the framers and the founding constitution and the way that we understand our country and understand our faith. Yes, people who founded this country were mainly Christian, but they also saw that there was a role for religion in sort of in the side as opposed to at the center of public life. And so there are a lot of people that are like, well, just Kurt Warner said, keep living the way you're living. Stop being so bold with your mouth. And I think America's not quite ready for that from a Muslim athlete.
Well, there seems to be two kind of warring ideals here. One is that, look, he has his own faith. That's his personal belief. He is allowed to practice it however he likes. And he should be allowed to say, I mean, if people thank their moms, there's no reason why he shouldn't be able to thank Jesus Christ. That's one thing. And then there's this argument that I've heard from people who are taxpayers in Denver and are not Christians saying, look, I helped pay Tim Tebow's salary. I paid for his stadium. And he's a representative of my city, therefore he probably should be a little more circumspect. I mean, which is right here?
Let's just remember, first of all, that this Tebow's an athlete of his era, right? You know, this is a very media-rich era. So in other generations, we've had athletes that have been more just as religious or more, but we just didn't hear for them constantly. So he might not be such an anomaly
right. That
we as we understand him. And then in that particular instance, as a person of faith myself and a former football player, I know that I love Tim Tebow and love watching him, partially because he is so vocal and so proud of his faith. And I think it goes back to this idea that successful Americans, you know, like Americans see someone who's successful and they want to be like them. You know, in others context, people want to tear them down. But in some ways, people are like, wait a second, I'm identifying you with you all the way to this point, and then you say that and I can't connect with you here. There's a little other piece of it that I was thinking is that maybe there's some part of the Christian America where people aren't practicing at the level that they feel they should or could, or there's a level of guilt that's at play here where people are like, listen, can you stop reminding me of what a bad Christian I am?
Oh, the old Jewish guilt ploy there, or Catholic guilt ploy.
In a sense, yeah.
So it sounds to me like you're not saying that Tim Tebow is being too vocal about his faith, but to a certain extent there seems to be a bit of, I guess, sadness that a Muslim wouldn't be accorded the same kind of latitude to be as vocal.
Well, you know, let's just be real. A friend of mine on my Facebook page said that being a Christian in a Christian athlete in America is like being a Boston fan in Boston, you know, being a Red Sox fan in Boston. You know, this is just the way it is. The beginning of a game, people kneel down and they say the Lord's Prayer in almost every football locker room in the United States. This is a very Christian sport. It makes perfect sense that you would have this vocal expression. Tim Tebow was homeschooled. You know, he's not someone who's been caught up in sort of the regular mainstream culture. He's been trained to be the way he is, and he's proud of who he is.
Well, you know, but John brought up just before we went on the air here the story of Cassius Clay and Muhammad Ali. Partly some of the fascination with him was his very public, very vocal conversion. And that certainly didn't harm his career.
No, I mean...
Well, it set it back for a little while.
Yeah.
Precisely. Yeah. Well, I mean, and a lot of people that I've met still will have this inclination to call him Cassius Clay, black and white. You know, they're still uncomfortable with the fact that he had to change his name to Muhammad Ali. And at that point, that sounded like it didn't sound like English. Didn't it? It didn't sound like it was, you know, it's not English, but it didn't sound like it was like even real. Yes, I think that also, but you complicate this thing and you say, then you add in race. Tim Tebow gets attacked by his play the same way they attacked black quarterbacks. So Tim Tebow gets, he's an underdog in sort of his style of play. And they constantly attack him. He's constantly the underdog, but he's constantly also the hero. He's winning every game. So he's also an anomaly in American sports where you can root for the underdog and you get the winner at the same time.
But this isn't something that you think that anybody should step in and regulate at this point. Nobody should go in and kind of smack Tim Tebow's hand. This is just kind of, it sounds like it's just for you kind of an interesting slice of life in American society.
I think it's great. And the reason why I think it's great is that Tim Tebow is not only does he say that and he thanks his Lord and Savior, but then he also is always very humble. He never gets baited into these attacks that people give him. He always says that's their opinion or good for them. He doesn't get not even in terms of the controversy around him being in the starting quarterback. He always keeps an even keel. In many ways, he's the best example of a Christian that we actually see in our society. And it's inspiring, I think, for any people of faith to see someone that's really good at their faith. Now, the reality is that people who are really staunch Christians, Muslims, Jews, Hindus, whatever it is, they when they're really into their faith, they don't even care about what other people are doing because they're only worried about their own personal development. And that's what I think Tim Tebow is worried about.
Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports Contributor. We definitely want to get your views on this. 877-8-MY-TAKE. Thanks, Ibrahim.
Thank you. Good morning.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.